Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Bloody Angola, a podcast 142 years in the making, the complete story of America's bloodiest prison. I'm Jim Chapman, and our regular drop of this podcast is going to drop on the 4th of July. So if you're listening to our regular drop and you're not a Patreon member, happy 4th of July. I hope you're spending time with family, enjoying your independence today. Because the podcast is dropping on the 4th of July for the general public, we're not going to release an episode of Bloody Angola podcast this week. However, we are going to drop something for you. And what we're doing is I am going to drop an episode of a podcast I do titled Exposed: Scandalous Files of the Elite. This most recent drop is the crazy case of Dr. Benjamin Brown. If you haven't heard about Dr. Benjamin Brown, you're going to know more than you will believe after this episode. I heavily researched this. I got first-person accounts, and I'm bringing it all to you right now. So happy 4th of July. And if you'd like to listen to more of Exposed: Scandalous Files of the Elite, I'm linking the whole podcast in the description. So without further ado, here is Exposed: Scandalous Files of the Elite. Dr. Ben Brown had the perfect life. The plastic surgeon with a successful practice on Florida's Gulf Coast was married to his beautiful wife, Hillary. And upon that marriage, they combined their families together and had five children. They lived in a $2.2 million mansion with picturesque views of the Gulf of Mexico. And for Dr. Brown, his life could not get any better. That is, until November 21st, 2023. While performing multiple surgeries on his wife at his office, Hillary went into cardiac arrest, and a week later, she died. The subsequent investigation revealed a sloppy surgeon with numerous complaints going back years. And on June 17th, 2024, the exposed doctor is charged with murder. Welcome to Exposed, Scandalous Files of the Elite, Dr. Benjamin Brown. Welcome back to Exposed, Scandalous Files of the Elite. I'm your host, Jim Chapman. And look, before we jump into today's episode, I do want to mention we now have a Patreon finally set up. A lot of you have asked about that. We've had it set up for just a couple of days, and we already have a ton of members. And I can't tell you how much it helps to have the support of those patron members. There's three tiers that we've set up. The first is local celebrity. You can get ad-free content and early releases. Then the middle tier is the national celebrity tier. And you get everything in that first tier. Plus you get bonus episodes, episodes that will not be released to the general public, and you get what's known as the binge option. You know, some of these episodes we release, they're two parts, three parts. Heck, the Diddy podcast is like five parts. So you get what's known as the binge, which is all those episodes in one file. You can just binge the whole series at once. And that is the national celebrity tier. That's only $15 a month for that tier. Incidentally, the local celebrity is $10 a month. The global celebrity is $20 per month. You get everything I just mentioned on the prior two tiers. Plus, you get a custom exposed welcome package. You get exclusive videos. We're going to send out quarterly gifts to our global celebrity members. You will also get a member shout out for those global celebrities, as well as a personal phone call from me welcoming you to the Exposed Scandalous Files of the Elite Global Celebrity Patreon team. So let's get into our topic for today, and that is Dr. Ben Brown. And let me tell you how I came across this. Initially, I had a message on Facebook. So look, message me on Facebook if you've got a scandal you want me to cover, and I'll look into it. But this person, I don't want to say their name because I'm not quite sure if they would want me to, but they messaged me and they said, you've got to check out this guy that just got arrested. This was just a couple of days ago. And this person said, it's a trending topic everywhere. It just broke. And they sent me the name of Dr. Ben Brown. You are not going to believe the story I'm about to tell you. I dove into about 10 hours of research after that. And I don't know how I did not know of this sooner. So Ben Brown is 40 years old, and he is a board certified plastic surgeon. He owns a company called Restore Plastic Surgery that is in Gulf Breeze, Florida. If y'all have ever been to the panhandle of Florida, Gulf Breeze, a very popular location for people who live in my neck of the woods in Louisiana to travel to. Pensacola is around that area. It's kind of in between Pensacola and Destin. It's just beautiful. And Ben Brown actually moved to Pensacola in 2015, and he worked as a plastic surgeon at Gulf Coast Plastic Surgery. And then in 2017, he opens his own practice. Now, when he moved to Pensacola, he was married to Stephanie Brown. That was in 2015, and Stephanie Brown actually filed for divorce in Santa Rosa County on April 5th of 2021. Shortly after that, he began dating Hillary. That was on July 5th of 2021, and the two were married less than a year later on June 4th of 2022. Now, let's go back a little bit. In college, Ben Brown actually attended three universities. He attended the University of Minnesota. That was from 2001 to 2003. Then he transferred and he attended Tulane University in Louisiana, about an hour from where I'm recording right now, in a very prestigious university, Tulane is. Very expensive university as well. He attended there from 2003 to 2005, that's where he got his bachelor's degree. And then he attended medical school at the University of Texas Southwest Medical Center. That was between 2005 and 2009, eventually earning his medical degree. Now, his specialty was plastic surgery, and he did his residency at Georgetown University. That was between 2009 and 2015. Just prior to him moving to Pensacola. And when he moved to Pensacola, he actually worked as a plastic surgeon at Gulf Coast Plastic Surgery. I'm sure he's like all of us at that time in his life. He's wanting his own practice. And eventually he did that. Just a couple of years later, he opened up Restore Plastic Surgery. That was in Gulf Breeze. So that's kind of a little bit of a history on who Ben Brown was. Now I'm going to give you a history on his wife, Hillary Brown. So Hillary Ellington Brown was born in Mobile, Alabama, and she was born on September 2nd of 1990. She attended Oxford High School and graduated from North Delta in Batesville, Mississippi, where she pursued a bachelor's degree in chemical engineering at the University of Mississippi. She had three kids at the time that her and Dr. Ben Brown got married. They were from a previous marriage, and they ranged in age from 4 to 8. Now, as I told you, Ben and Hillary, they started dating in 2021. And as I told you, they got married in June of 2022. And in addition to Hillary's children, Ben Brown also had two sons. Now, according to Hillary's father, Marty Ellington, Hillary and Ben had a pretty volatile relationship, and he described it as they kind of blew hot and cold, but for the most part, Hillary seemed to enjoy their life together. And her father even said that Hillary thought it was kind of cool she was married to a plastic surgeon who could regularly perform plastic surgery procedures on her face and body, and hey, it didn't cost her anything, right? So life at this time, it seemed pretty good, right? They seem to be pretty happy. They're able to buy pretty much anything they want. I mean, he's a plastic surgeon. She's working for him at this time. Life is good. They have a huge house, a 4-bedroom, 5-bathroom house that's nearly 5,000 square feet, overlooks the bay in Gulf Breeze, and valued at over $2 million. They're doing good. So on November 21st, police receive a 911 call from Restore Plastic Surgery, Dr. Ben Brown's business. So the ambulance arrives at the business. She is in cardiac arrest, his wife, Hillary. They do everything they can, but she is in a bind. She had actually went into cardiac arrest during a surgical procedure he was performing on her. She gets rushed to the hospital in a coma, and she never comes out of it. On November 24th, as a matter of fact, Ben Brown shares some pretty devastating news about his wife's condition. He says he's seeking prayers for a miracle. She was battling for her life, etc. But sadly, She passes away at the age of 33. That was on November 28th of 2023, just a week after she was rushed to the hospital. So what happened? That was what was on everybody's mind. Pretty unique situation. I mean, he was performing a surgery on his own wife. You don't hear about that every day in the medical community. These things do happen during surgeries, but when it's your own wife, a little bit different. And of course, everybody's asking questions at that point. And then some interesting things came out. It seems that Dr. Ben Brown was not as good a doctor as you may would think. And a lot of his past patients came out and shared just some horrific experiences that they had with Dr. Brown. And before I get into these, I want to go ahead and credit the Pensacola News Journal. The assistance they gave me with the research on this, just from the articles that they have posted, were invaluable. Jane Hawkins first consulted with Dr. Ben Brown to discuss removing her breast implants and to have what is known, y'all, as a mini mommy makeover. Now, that includes a tummy tuck, and then they use fat from the body to rebuild the breast. So Hawkins drives from Destin to see Brown in Pensacola, and he came highly recommended to Miss Jane Hawkins, so she felt it was worth the drive. And when she met with Dr. Brown, she was impressed. So she goes ahead and she orders that surgery. And it was a 6-hour surgery that occurred on November 22nd of 2022. Now, she awakes from that surgery and she finds that Brown had completed the procedures that she asked him to do. But, and this is crazy, y'all, he actually performed a procedure she didn't want. She said that he put about 5 pounds of fat in her backside. Think Brazilian butt lift, right? So at that time, she doesn't say anything about that. She's just coming out of surgery. She goes home, but soon the sutures in her stomach start to become loose. So eventually, after being concerned about this, she goes to the emergency room. And the wound at the time that she went to the emergency room, y'all, was 9 inches wide by 4 inches across. The doctor in that emergency room actually told her he gave you completely wrong wound care instructions. You look like you've had a ribeye laying on your stomach. And she wasn't the only one to have complaints about Dr. Brown. There were at least a dozen patients that came forward after all of this occurred with Dr. Brown's wife. And Hawkins got even more specific about her situation. She said her stomach sutures started opening about 2 weeks after her surgery. And she said there was so much fluid seeping from her incisions that she had to use menstrual pads to soak the fluid up. She said that Brown botched 2 in-office attempts to close that wound that was continuing to widen as time went on. She said he started to stitch up the edges of where my opening was, and then he said, "I don't want to split this open any further." Then he said that she needed to use an acetic acid and gauze to keep the area from getting infected and had to pack it. So she follows his instructions. She does that for 2 weeks and it wasn't helping. Her husband, who was actually a U.S. Army veteran of 31 years, said he could see her muscle wall through the hole in her stomach. Hawkins also suffered from a condition called necrosis after the surgery. And that's basically, y'all, where the skin dies from lack of circulation. And eventually, when that happens, you have to cut all of that out. So after 2 visits, it's not getting any better. She decides she needs to go to the emergency room. And that emergency room was at Eglin Air Force Base. The doctor looks at the wound and he says, "Based on what I'm seeing here, you got about 3 to 6 months from this wound even being closed." And then there was Joy Edwards, who was actually a nurse in Pensacola, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2017. Now, after undergoing chemotherapy and overcoming that illness, she had a mastectomy and needed reconstructive breast surgery. It's real common with breast cancer. So another nurse that she knew recommended Dr. Ben Brown, and Edwards and her husband, they go to this consultation. And Ben Brown tells them that he had a 99% success rate with that type of procedure. And in 2019, he goes ahead and he performs that surgery. And Ms. Edwards said that there were complications right away. I know that one of my lungs got nicked during the surgery, so when I came out of the surgery, I also had a chest tube. Within 24 hours, the left side started to fail, and then they took me back trying to save the side that didn't work. She said she was in the hospital and a nurse was with her and they both saw the right side, including her nipple, just everything turned black. So she calls Dr. Ben Brown and she explained that they had a drastic change in what looked to her like blood flow. Remember, she's a nurse, so she knows this stuff. And she said that Dr. Ben Brown told her, hey, nothing to worry about. So she figures, I mean, he's the expert, he's the doctor, he specializes in this. She believes she's okay. So she goes home, and within a few days, she had more problems. She said the wounds were not only opening up, but they were seeping, and there was a foul smell. She said green pus was pouring out of me, and I can remember calling his office and crying and saying there's something wrong. And he just kept saying, no, this is normal. This is something that can be expected, even though she didn't feel that it was normal at all.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
So after a month of dealing with what appeared to her to be an infection with no change in the result, her health deteriorated to the point she wasn't able to walk, drive, or even raise her arms above her head. She said Brown then performed surgery on her again to address it and do reconstruction. But even after that surgery, she still had infection. Now, eventually, Brown admitted her to Sacred Heart Hospital, and they put her on IV antibiotics. And Ms. Edwards said they used a tool to blast out all of the pus that was in there, and there were 4 hospital-acquired microorganisms growing in that wound. Crazy. She then said she went to physical therapy to be able to walk and lift her arms normally again, and the wound in her chest remained open for 2 months and had to be cleaned and packed daily to heal. What a freaking nightmare. I'm going to tell you about Brandy Fitzsimmons, another patient. In October of 2021, Fitzsimmons said Brown performed several procedures, including a breast implant exchange. He did some liposuction on her sides, back, and arms, and some fat injections in her hips. And she also had an extended tummy tuck, so she was getting some work done. But that work didn't turn out like she had planned. Fitzsimmons said the liposuction on her arms looked unfinished and left her with uneven lumps. She also said he injected her fat into her buttocks and she did not want that done. Second time, right, that he's done that. And an incision in her stomach opened up after the staples were removed, leaving a long, deep tunnel in her stomach that seemed like forever to heal. She said she had two painful revision procedures in his office to address the problems. In what was supposed to be a recovery process of about 2 weeks, turned into a year and a half recovery. That's crazy. Now, as many complaints as there were about Dr. Ben Brown, there were some people that they had accolades on Ben Brown. I mean, if you'll notice, some of the situations I just told you were off of referrals. That's kind of advertising you can get, is word of mouth advertising, right? Some people did have good results with Dr. Ben Brown. Melissa Whitmire, she had been going to Brown for years and was one of his first patients when he moved to the area in 2015. She said he removed her implants, including one that had ruptured, gave her a breast lift, and everything turned out good and the procedure went perfectly. So much so that she continued to see him for different procedures for years. She had a neck lift, liposuction, fat injections, laser treatments, and she claims she never had a negative experience with Dr. Brown. A lady named Pat McCullum Farmer, she was also very pleased with the mommy makeover that Brown gave her several years ago. That included breast implants, removing excess skin, and a Brazilian butt lift. But let's talk about that for a second, y'all. This dude is giving people Brazilian butt lifts they don't want. Now, I know there's some people probably out there saying, hey, if he wanted to give me a Brazilian butt lift, I'm down for it. I'm sure they're out there. But what the hell? That shocked me. You can't just do that? And this guy was still practicing? It blows my mind. So obviously during this time after his wife tragically passed, ex-employees also started speaking out. Shannon Giraj is Brown's former manager. She worked for him from 2018 to 2022. So a long time. She was his office manager. She said she wore many hats for his business. She was a medical assistant. She scheduled receptionist. Just whatever he needed her to do, she did. And when she worked for Brown initially, she said Dr. Brown was the best. But she said as time went on, he seemed to have difficulty managing stress. And when work problems arose, he sometimes threw tantrums or he would become paranoid. People were out to get him and he took out his frustrations on his staff. That seemed to get worse when he went through his divorce, she said. One minute he was thanking me for being the greatest friend and employee, and the next day I was trash. He said we were idiots and losers, not doing our job, stealing from him, just a ton of accusations being thrown around. Then she said as his legal issues and personal issues started mounting, he started to get really sloppy with patients. She said he didn't care about patients anymore. Patient care was left up to his PA and me. We basically turned into a wound care facility. The PA was constantly treating infections, performing office procedures. And since all of this has occurred and the media as well as investigators have dug into his past, there were a lot of PAs and nurses and people that worked for him that would bring up, hey, man, you're getting kind of sloppy. And what do you think he would do? He'd just fire him. Now, when that office manager heard about Hillary Brown's death, she said she wasn't surprised because she had witnessed several close calls. One in particular happened in Brown's Pensacola office around 2019 that stood out to her. She said Brown was performing a procedure on an elderly woman with his nurse practitioner in that room. The nurse comes out of the room and she's looking frantically for an oxygen tank. The office manager said they had to go upstairs to the second floor of the building to get that tank and bring it downstairs where the woman was. They bring it downstairs and she said, when I walked by, I said, what the heck's happening? And the nurse practitioner said, we're losing her. And then they took her tongue and they sutured it to her cheek so it wouldn't obstruct her airway. Then she said Dr. Brown started freaking out. I wasn't office manager at the time, but Dr. Brown yelled at our office manager saying, "Do not call the patient's husband. None of this gets out. You don't know anything that just happened." Another employee named Deborah Brown Guy, who is no relation to Dr. Ben Brown, but she worked for him for about 3.5 weeks on September of 2022. Guy said her time with his office was cut short because Brown fired her for writing a letter outlining her concerns about patient safety. She was a surgical tech and she was responsible for keeping a sterile environment for in-office procedures, including cleaning the tools and equipment. From her first day, she said she was appalled at Brown's refusal to follow basic safety protocol. Guy said she was instructed to use a bucket with distilled water to clean bloody instruments or in the employee lounge where they ate. Guy provided a copy of the letter she sent Dr. Brown along with pictures of the sterile process room, which looked more like a supply closet with stacks of boxes and other equipment around the room. And I'm going to put those pictures on the Patreon page for the supporters. Guy said she witnessed Brown repeatedly perform procedures in his office without proper equipment, staff, or in a sterile environment. She said one woman even woke up during a facelift Brown was performing on her and asked to use the bathroom. Can y'all believe that? So Dr. Brown allowed her to do so even though Guy said it wasn't safe or sanitary. Then the woman returned to finish the procedure, and she begins vomiting all over the room from medications that Brown had them administer to sedate her. She basically said, "My surgical conscience wouldn't allow me to stay in that environment." Y'all, she lasted 2 weeks. That ought to tell you something. All right, so as you would expect, all of these people start coming out, and the state of Florida, especially the Department of Health, who is responsible for licensing these medical doctors, they have to take notice now. It's becoming way too big of news for them not to take notice. And they start investigating him. And look, the police, since all of this occurred with his wife, had been investigating him, trying to figure out what's going on. So we're going to tell you what went on and what the Florida Department of Health uncovered, and also the penalties, if you will, that he endured as a result of their investigation. So they completed that investigation on May 2nd of 2024. When the Department of Health does these investigations, they not only investigate the doctor himself, they investigate the circumstances, obviously, that caused the death, in this case, his wife. And they also interview a lot of former employees and maybe even former patients, etc. So in this report, they said Dr. Brown is board certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery. At all times material to this order, Dr. Brown owned and operated Restore Plastic Surgery in Pensacola, Florida. Any office where the doctor performs level 2 and 3 procedures must be registered with the Department of Health and submit to annual inspections. Dr. Brown only performs level 1 office surgeries at Restore Plastic Surgery and therefore is not registered or inspected by the department. So what they're saying there is the claims that have been made and verified through pictures by some of his past staff as well as past patients of a dirty office, you know, the disgusting way in which he sterilized his shit. All of that, what they're saying is we didn't inspect it at any point in time because he just performed level 1 office surgeries there. I think no matter what you're doing, you should be inspected if you're a medical office. But that's my opinion. Apparently, they don't have that law. So it continues on and it says, enter around 2021, a medical assistant that worked at Restore Plastic Surgery observed his practice begin to decline. The medical assistant observed that Dr. Brown began delegating more and more to his physician assistant, Seth Kirby, and his unlicensed wife. Yes, the wife that is deceased now. His unlicensed wife was not a healthcare practitioner, was not qualified to practice medicine, including performing cosmetic procedures, and was not legally permitted to perform cosmetic procedures at the clinic. The medical assistant observed that Restore Plastic Surgery was dirty and poorly maintained. Dr. Brown stored medication, including controlled substances, in an unlocked cabinet. That's a big no-no. Witnesses reported that staff would ingest Burst from the inventory to take the edge off. Shit. Y'all know what Burst is. Burst is a anxiety drug that, like, dentists will give you or, obviously, plastic surgeons. What it does, it decreases your anxiety, and it also puts you in that twilight state, they call it, where you can't really remember a surgery when you have it, that sort of thing. His staff would ingest this stuff, witnesses said. That's crazy. And then they released some facts on a particular patient. On or about August 24th, 2021, a 40-year-old woman met with Dr. Brown to discuss undergoing breast implant replacement, tummy tuck, liposuction, and fat injections in her hips. During the consultation, Dr. Brown recommended that the patient also receive glute fat injections, also known as a Brazilian butt lift. The patient did not want a Brazilian butt lift and specifically stated she didn't authorize Dr. Brown to inject fat into her buttocks. Despite that patient's decision not to receive the Brazilian butt lift, Dr. Brown inaccurately documented in the patient's records that she wanted to have that. On or about October 25th, the patient reported to Baptist Hospital for the first phase of her procedure, which included liposuction, abdominoplasty, and breast implant replacement. In addition, Dr. Brown also performed that Brazilian butt lift, injecting 1,100 milliliters of fat into her ass. It doesn't say ass. I'm saying that. The fat transfer was an unauthorized procedure, and after the procedure, the patient experienced severe pain, blurred vision, and swelling. Additionally, her incision began to open and leak. Then, on or about November 23rd of 2021, the patient returned to Restore Plastic Surgery to undergo a scar revision surgery, which Dr. Brown delegated to a PA to perform. During the procedure, the patient was crying and in excruciating pain. The patient described it as pure torture. The PA excised a large portion of skin and fat, creating a large open wound across the patient's abdomen. During the procedure, there were several issues of sterility. Neither the PA nor the assistants wore surgical face masks despite the patient's large open abdominal wound. And I want to mention this. This ain't a COVID thing here, y'all. This ain't like wearing a mask and going to the grocery store. This is, you need to wear a surgical mask when you're performing surgeries and you're a doctor. And the reason for that is you have an open wound present. And you could put a lot of germs in that open wound by sneezing or something like that, or coughing, or even spitting into the wound. It's very unsanitary and shocking that they were not wearing a surgical mask with open wounds like that. The medical assistants also repeatedly placed gauze on the patient's exposed stomach and then used the gauze to stop bleeding in her wound. On December 2nd of 2021, that patient removed the bandage from the wound and had a deep hole in her stomach. Then on December 7th of 2021, she returned back to Restore Plastic Surgery for a wound debridement. During that wound debridement, Dr. Brown did not even document that she had returned. Then, fast forward a couple years, same patient returns to Restore Plastic Surgery for laser treatment on her ab, navel, and breast. Now, let me say this. I know y'all are like me, and right now you're thinking, why does this lady keep coming back? I can't answer that question. If I observed all that and went through all that just a couple of years prior, I ain't never going back to that place again. I'd have done reported that guy. I can't answer that, but she did. She returned. She went back and wanted laser treatment. So Dr. Brown's wife, who, remember, is not a licensed healthcare provider, performs that laser treatment. Then they talked to another patient who was a 55-year-old woman who went to Restore Plastic Surgery to discuss her cosmetic surgery she was going to have to remove her breast implants. And the patient stated she did not want to have a Brazilian butt lift. He's asking everybody if they want it. Apparently, he's giving it to people that don't even want it. So he asked her. She says, no, she's not interested in that. Well, guess what? He gives her a butt lift anyway. But that's not the only problem. He also performed the liposuction of her back, etc. She goes home and the incision that she had starts leaking. So she goes back to Dr. Brown's office and she discusses the issue that she's having with that abdominal incision leaking. And she also confronts him about her ass being larger. And he states that, yeah, he did do the Brazilian butt lift anyway, and he thought that she would love it.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
So she goes back in December 5th of 2022 for a checkup, and he fails to even document that she came back for this checkup. Y'all, that is a major problem. You will be hard-pressed to find a medical doctor that does not document everything that occurs in his office every time he sees a patient. He's not even documenting these patients. Then, the next day, she goes back. They're checking out her wound, and the medical assistant removes the gauze and everything, and she realizes that there's a large area of necrosis around her abdomen. And remember, that's where that skin dies from lack of blood flow around a wound, and they had to cut all that out. So Dr. Brown cuts a hole in her abdomen that was approximately 7 inches long, 4 inches wide, and a half an inch deep. Then he goes to re-suture that area, but the suture split open. So he packs her open wound with acetic acid and gauze and sends her home. Eventually, after her going back like 5 times, he says, look, we don't handle wound care here. He said, why don't we take you to a regular doctor and I'll just pay for the procedures to fix the issues. Now, eventually, the issues did get fixed and the wound did close up, but this patient still says she has constant pain in her diaphragm, abdomen, and hips from what he's done to her. So on November 21st of 2023, his wife, Hillary Brown, she had scheduled several cosmetic surgeries to undergo with her husband, Dr. Brown, at that Restore Plastic Surgery office. She was getting some liposuction done, some lip injections, some ear adjustment procedures is what they call them. And the morning of the procedure, she prepared her own what's known as tumescent solution. Basically, what it is it's a mixture of several different liquids that go in an IV, and you get these IV drugs of this concoction of liquid. And that included diluted lidocaine, epinephrine, and sodium bicarbonate. And she filled 1 to 2 IV bags with that solution. And that's important, and we'll tell you why later. So at around 11 a.m., his wife ingested a handful of what's described as multicolored pills. And in those pills, one of them was definitely Valium. Now, after consuming this medication, she began to feel effects of sedation, right? She's getting tired. She's getting very relaxed, that sort of thing. And Dr. Brown did document that she ingested Valium 5 milligram, Tramadol 50 milligram, Cefadroxil 500 milligram, Zofran, 8 milligram. And look, y'all, Zofran is like what you take for nausea and also makes you very tired. And Verst, which I told you about earlier, 2 milligram. Now, he documented that at 12 o'clock p.m. that day. Now, there was no documentation of the handful of pills that she ingested at 11 a.m. So his wife then goes into another patient's room and, get this, removes their stitches after taking all of this stuff. That's crazy. At around 1 p.m., a medical assistant begins to prepare the procedure room for his wife's procedure, and Dr. Brown at that time closes the offices to the public. So it's just his wife in there and the medical assistant. He marks her for surgery, and the wife returns to the procedure room about 30 minutes later. At that point, a medical assistant gives his wife another dose of Verst. So Dr. Brown documented that the tumescent solution that he used was 1,000 milligrams of lidocaine, 10 milliliters of sodium bicarbonate, 2 milligrams of epinephrine, and 888 milliliters of normal saline. However, his wife actually prepared the solution, and she doesn't create any sort of documentation of the solution. So the issue there is Dr. Brown could not have ensured that the concentration of solution that he documented was actually what she used. What if she accidentally put 20 milliliters of sodium bicarbonate or 4 milligrams of epinephrine? That's an issue, and it's also against the freaking law. And this is your wife, man. What are you doing letting her mix all that up? So from there, Dr. Brown, he injects 600 milliliters of that solution. Dr. Brown then uses all of the contents of 1 to 2 IV bags and requested staff to bring him xylocaine. Then he instructs his assistant to pour the xylocaine into a bowl and then draw the fluid into a needle, and he injects the undiluted xylocaine into her arms. However, he did not document injecting undiluted xylocaine into her arms. He then performs what's known as a scar revision, and in even more shocking fashion, his wife then assists him in her own procedure by suturing the skin back together. But it was during this procedure that his wife becomes restless and her feet begin twitching. Dr. Brown then performed liposuction of her arms, and the twitching worsened. So he notices this and he takes a break after completing the liposuction to her arms, and he then injects a more concentrated solution of lidocaine into her face and lips, and that contained 20 milliliters of saline and 20 milliliters of 1% lidocaine with epinephrine and 20 milliliters of what's known as bupivaccine, I believe is how that's pronounced. However, witnesses, and this is important, observed Dr. Brown inject undiluted xylocaine into his wife's face. It was then that his wife said her vision was starting to blur, and she tells her husband, Dr. Brown, that she saw orange. What I've just described to you, the restlessness, the muscle twitches, the blurred vision, these are all early signs of lidocaine toxicity. And any plastic surgeon knows this. Anyone that deals with lidocaine knows this. But yet he continues injecting lidocaine into her face. So during that procedure, his wife becomes unresponsive and begins to have a seizure. So in a proper scenario, when this happens, the minimum that you're going to want to do at this point is immediately initiate an emergency transfer to a high level of care, right? It's time to call the ambulance and get this woman to a hospital. So a medical assistant sees all of this going on, and she's in the room with Dr. Brown, and she says, shouldn't we call 911? And Dr. Brown tells her no. Then over the next 10 to 20 minutes, a medical assistant continues to ask Dr. Brown if they should call 911, and he says no or wait. And the medical assistant gets scared. She's a new employee, right? She isn't even sure if this is normal in his office, so she does what he's telling her to do, sadly. He then tells the staff to go retrieve a blood pressure cuff, a pulse reader, stethoscope, oxygen tanks, and EKG leads. So an assistant brings back the pulse reader and the blood pressure cuff, and he takes her blood pressure, and it is like very low, like near death low. Now, the other assistants went around the office trying to find the other supplies. They couldn't even find them. And the other assistants weren't even sure if he had what's known as a crash cart, which is basically, you know, like you see in the movies, you put the paddles on someone's chest and you hit the button and it sends electric pulse through them and starts their heart again if they have a heart attack. Then he tells an assistant, get my stethoscope. They can't even find his stethoscope. Yeah, the thing that the doctor is supposed to have around his neck at all times. Couldn't find it. He then starts shouting to the staff and he asks them, what medication did she take? What did she take? He didn't even know what his wife took. So after that 20 minutes has expired, her breasts become shallow, her pulse and blood oxygen levels were extremely low, and he finally tells his assistants it's okay to call 911, and he begins performing CPR. So at 4:13 p.m., an assistant does call 911 and request an ambulance, and the first responders, they arrive shortly after that, and they start taking over CPR. And they intubate her. At that point, she gets transported to Ascension Sacred Heart Emergency Room. She is in cardiac arrest, and they suspect lidocaine toxicity. Hillary Brown never regained consciousness, and after several days in the hospital, she passes away on November 28th of 2023. And after the dust settles on this report, they restrict his license. His medical license, and the restriction he had was basically if he performs any sort of surgical procedure, it has to be done at a hospital. So they didn't cancel his medical license. They just restricted it. He could still practice and everything, but if a procedure was to be performed, it had to be performed at an actual hospital. So that was back in May. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, they're doing their thing. They're investigating. There's high pressure from the media. This is starting to come out everywhere. TikTok, you name it. And just a few days from this recording, a warrant is issued for the arrest of Benjamin Brown. And when you go to get a warrant, you have to have an affidavit of probable cause, right? Why are we arresting this guy? Because a judge has to sign off on that warrant. And I have that warrant from the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office. And I'm just going to give you their information that they gave the judge because this is all fact. And the charge here is culpable negligence by the killing of a human being, Hillary Ellington Brown, without lawful justification. Murder. Maybe not. In the eyes of the law, is this full first-degree murder, but his negligence caused her death. And culpable negligence means you were aware you were being negligent, and she died as a result of it. So let's preface it with that. And the sheriff's office said on November 21st of 2023, patrol deputies with the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office responded to Restore Plastic Surgery in reference to a medical emergency. Upon their arrival, firefighters from the Midway Fire Department were actively working a cardiac arrest patient identified as the victim, Hillary Ellington Brown. Soon after, lifeguard paramedics arrived and transported the victim to an emergency room in Navarre, Florida. Once at the emergency room, she was stabilized and later transferred to the ICU unit at Sacred Heart Medical Center, where she remained on life support, never regaining consciousness until her death on 11/28 of 2023. After her passing on November 30th of 2023, the District 1 medical examiner obtained custody of the victim for an autopsy. This was also the same time this case was assigned to your affiant for follow-up. And the affiant is basically the person applying for the warrant from the judge. Your affiant was then advised about possible suspicious circumstances surrounding the victim's death. After reviewing the initial report taken by deputies, your affiant noted several statements made by the staff of Restore Plastic Surgery. 1. The victim is Benjamin Brown's wife. 2. The victim was having multiple surgical procedures performed at one time. 3. The victim, after undergoing other procedures, was receiving injections of lidocaine to parts of her face when she began to convulse and began to have a seizure. Your affiant learned that several employees of Restore Plastic Surgery were on duty at the time of this incident. Your affiant spoke to one of the employees via a recorded phone interview. The employee, prior to this interview, had contacted your affiant and expressed concern over the events that occurred on 11/21 of 2023. The employee began by stating she had only worked for the business a few days before this occurred. In that short time, she expressed there was a lot of negligence in the office that led to Hillary's cardiac arrest. She stated prior to the surgery, the victim took a plethora of pills. However, she was unaware of what they were. She stated the victim had prepared her own IV bags, which were supposed to contain diluted xylocaine, which was being used as a local anesthetic. During the surgery, the IV bags ran out, at which time Brown poured 2 containers into a bowl. He didn't dilute them or anything, she said, and he began to inject her arms and later her face. When he did this, Hillary began to say her vision was blurry. She said her face was really puffy, but Brown continued. She stated she thought that was a sign she was overdosing, and this was when she began convulsing. It was at this point the victim was suffering a medical emergency. The employee stated Brown was asked if they should call 911 several times, but he wanted to try and do it himself. What an arrogant son of a bitch. She said he was asked 4 or 5 times by several staff members, but he continued to tell them to wait. She stated there was no oxygen in the room and no EKG to monitor her heart. She said there was nothing they could have done and 911 should have been called. She stated this lasted for 10 to 15 minutes before 911 was eventually called by another employee and not at the direction of Brown. Your affiant asked about medications in the office, and she stated everyone had access. She stated she thought it was just in Brown's office in a drawer not locked up. This included pain medication, the opioid type, Valium, and weight loss medication. I asked controlled substances, and she said yes. She further expressed concern, stating there were no cameras at the building and stated that the building was still under construction. Your affiant spoke to another employee. That employee noted many of the same details as the first. However, clarified that the pills that were taken were pre-op medications, which were Verst, Tramadol, Gabapentin, maybe Valium, and antibiotics. She believed these medications were taken at about 1 p.m. and the procedure began around 2 p.m., The employee stated that the first set of procedures on the lower abdomen, the victim took a break and was up and walking around. Then at 3:30 p.m., they began the next procedures. Brown was injecting local anesthetic into her lips and her eyes. Your affiant asked what she was being injected with. She stated typically it was lidocaine, sodium bicarbonate mixed with some other things. The purpose of this was to numb the area, but it was not straight lidocaine and not as potent. The mixture was used for the first procedure. However, For the second round of procedures, Brown used xylocaine mixed with EPI in her lips, around her ears and eyes, which she stated went fine. So the procedure went on, and Hillary complained that she started seeing orange, then said she was not able to see. But when he opened her eyes, she was able to see and added that when the injections happen, it kind of swells up. Yerfeyant asked if it was common for people to express vision concerns. She stated that Brown always tells patients to tell them if they see stars or have vision complaints and to let him know since he is close to the eye, but she had never heard anyone complain before. Brown then began to inject the victim's right eye, and this is when she started seizing. The employee was asked about life-saving measures, and she stated she performed CPR. I asked about life-saving medical supplies, possibly a crash cart, but she didn't remember anything like that. The employee expressed the same lack of equipment in the office and delay in calling 911 that the first did. The affiant then spoke to a third employee. She stated the victim had lied down on the bed. However, she had got back up and went to Brown's office because she had not been marked up. She said it only takes 5 minutes, but it was about 30 minutes when the victim came back into the room. The victim then took another dose of Verst. She stated that the same bags of local anesthetic, including the victim preparing the bags herself, and that at one point they had run out. After running out, Brown asked her to get more lidocaine. She stated they were out of lidocaine and had been. She stated that she had told him that. Brown and the victim both instructed her to get xylocaine. She described it as a small bottle that already contains epi. Brown then instructed her to get pliers and pull the whole top off the vial instead of pulling it from the bottle with a needle, drawing it up, right? She was then instructed to pour two whole vials into a sterile bowl. Brown then injected her with that. She stated it didn't have any dilution to it at all. She stated the injections were done near Hillary's eyes and she was reporting blurry vision, and soon after is when she began to have seizures. She continued and stated there was not a crash cart in the room, although there should have been, and further explained you should always have one if you're cutting open bodies. I asked if the office had any sort of crash cart, and she stated, I don't think we did. If we did, it was back in the shed somewhere. She further alluded to the fact that they didn't have life-saving devices. She again expressed the need to call 911 sooner and was instructed to wait to call. She stated that she made the decision to call 911, not Brown. We talked about the security of the medication in the office, and she said the medication in the office was just a cabinet. No lock on it or anything. Then the affiant conducted interviews with both medical doctors who cared for the victim at the emergency room and in intensive care. Both doctors confirmed they were seeing the victim and attempting to treat her for lidocaine toxicity. They advised that early into their care, they suspected the victim would not survive. Once further medical evaluations were completed, they confirmed the outcome and kept the victim on life support for the preservation of organs. The affiant then learned this was not the first incident where Brown had over-medicated a victim for surgery and had difficulty waking her up. During an interview with a former employee, your affiant was told that one day in January of 2023, she witnessed a procedure where the victim was receiving a brow lift. She was instructed to give the victim Verst. She believed it was 4 milligrams. That would have been the typical dose, and she was still awake. Then Brown and the victim both advised to give her more, which she did. She stated she may have given her a third dose, but she was not completely sure. After this, she went out of the room and she could hear Brown yelling the victim's name in an attempt to wake her up. This was not normal, which concerned her, and she responded to the room. She and another tech shared a concerned look, but was told it was okay by Dr. Brown, so she left the room. However, after walking out of the room, it occurred again. This time, Brown had more urgency in his voice as he was having difficulty waking her up. The tech further added that in another surgical environment she had worked in, she had never seen someone having difficulty being woken up like that. Your affiant, after learning this, spoke to the other tech who was also present during this procedure. That tech was also a former employee who expressed that she left the business after this incident due to concerns of neglect. She corroborated the same series of events and stated there were a certain amount of drugs patients were supposed to take for procedures based upon weight. She said Brown referred to the victim as his little alien and intentionally gave the victim higher doses of medication. Your affiant concluded after these interviews, a common concern, overactions or inactions by Brown. Then it says, in conclusion, witness interviews all corroborated that when the victim began to show signs of overdose, Brown continued injecting unknown amounts of lidocaine and did not stop until the victim went into seizure and cardiac arrest. When this occurred, Brown delayed reporting the incident to 911 and used his status as a doctor to do so. Brown showed a history of allowing unsafe practice to occur and took no precautions for the well-being of human life even after an incident where he could not wake the victim during a procedure in January of 2023. Based upon these circumstances, your affiant has probable cause to believe Benjamin Jacob Brown, having culpable negligence, did violate Statute 782.07, manslaughter, by culpable negligence and did through said culpable negligence cause the killing of a human being, Hillary Ellington Brown. That was signed, and that asshole goes to jail. I have the video of him being put in jail, actually going down the hallways. I'm going to post that on the Patreon page. Shocking. What an asshole. So he gets arrested. This is on June 17th. And on June 18th, he bails out of jail. And the family of Benjamin Brown releases a statement. And it says, Ben continues to mourn the death of his loving wife, Hillary. And this arrest, which is completely without merit, only deepens his pain and grief. All safety and medical protocols were strictly followed on the day of Hillary's passing. Ben is a conscientious, dedicated, and incredibly talented surgeon, and he is looking forward to presenting the actual facts in court and clearing his name of this horrible accusation. Now, something to keep in mind there. Look, even the worst people in the world, someone somewhere that loves him, and his family didn't cause this. And I'm sure they're hurting. And there's always victims on both sides. So I get it. I get why they would release that statement. And of course, her family, especially her dad, has been very active. And shout out to him for that. Very active, Mr. Marty Ellington, in getting this case to where it's at. As a matter of fact, he has been meeting with local legislators and he wants to see a law passed that prevents surgeons in Florida from performing procedures on their own family members. And he wants to call that Hillary's Law in honor of his daughter. And I would love to see that in all states. And I did come across the obituary for Miss Hillary Brown. I'll just read you that. It says Hillary Ellington Brown, 33. She was born September 2nd, 1990 in Mobile, Alabama. She attended Oxford High School and graduated from North Delta in Batesville, Mississippi. She pursued a Bachelor's of Science in Chemical Engineering at the University of Mississippi. Hillary was the most loving, talented, caring, and giving person. She was employed by Restore Plastic Surgery in Gulf Breeze, Florida, where staff and clients praised her kind and cheerful nature. She chose to be an organ donor, which, by her sacrifice, organs were transferred to 5 recipients, which will enhance and restore their lives. She was a loving and supportive mother, wife, daughter, sister, and friend, and her radiant attitude and infectious smile will truly be missed. All of that could have and should have been avoided, and that's why those charges are now filed against Dr. Ben Brown. Thank you for listening, and until next time, I'm Jim Chapman, your host of Exposed, Scandalous Files of the Elite. Much love.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.